Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Hinted Neuron Podcast. Today I'm joined by Sungbade Akeem, also known as Wiseman. We discuss topics around digital marketing, governance, society, and politics. If you're new to this podcast, consider subscribing and also leaving a review with 5 stars on Apple Podcast if you enjoyed the show. You own a digital agency, CyberCox, and I know you guys primarily target clients, foreign clients. So tell me how that has been, selling and getting clients from Nigeria.
Well, really easy, in the sense that sometimes they have trust issues and stuff like that. But it was more difficult in the beginning, in the sense that you have nothing to show, like a portfolio or something. But along the line, when you have worked for previous some clients, you can tag them on the page, because I actually pitch with the page, the website design page, and business page. So when you pitch, you take the page, you see, okay, I'll work on some similar. For example, I'm trying to target a plumber in Florida. And okay, on checking my website page, he actually says, oh, this guy works for a plumber in Florida. He would be more willing and more open to kind of giving me the job, rather than when I've not worked for anyone. So it has not been so easy, but I think it's getting easier than it was, in the sense that I have a possibility to just show off, like, okay, you can trust me, I've done this for this person, and I tag them, I get reviews from them, and so it makes things better along the line. But in the beginning, it was not so easy getting clients from Nigeria.
Yeah, but what you guys do the whole branding and or just websites, yeah, and digital marketing for your clients?
Most times I start with logos, then websites, then advanced level, then digital marketing, helping them get clients, doing Facebook ads sometimes. But it has mostly logos, that's branding generally, logos, business card, general branding, then websites. Then for a few clients, I've done digital marketing, whereby I spend on Google Ads for them. I do their entire digital marketing, marketing them online, trying to help them get clients. Yeah, I have very good results for that.
It's very interesting that you say that, because digital marketing is like one overused, bloated term on the internet today. Like, everybody's calling themselves a digital marketer.
Yeah, I don't really like even associating myself with something like that, because everyone digital marketer, and when you say that, people look at you like one of those guys. In the real sense, you see influencers, people with 5K followers on Instagram, just calling themselves digital marketer. And in the real sense, digital marketer, just like the word, marketing digitally, you understand? Using ads, using in the internet, basically, to market, get clients, get leads, and stuff like that. But as I said, you are correct, overbloated. So I don't really like using the term in word. Most times, I prefer to use it in practical, like, okay, I can get clients for you online, rather than making the noise digital marketing, because the word is actually overbloated, as you said, yeah.
What's the difference between digital marketing and content marketing? Can we draw like a distinction between them in any way?
Yeah, digital marketing and content marketing. Well, yeah, they are actually both marketing, but there is like the difference that is actually kind of clear. When you're talking of digital marketing, that is just like the word. Or let me just say, to explain it better, just like internet marketing. Marketing, okay. Going at the different with the traditional marketing, like when you want to sell your product, you have to go on newspapers, all these daily people read, pay around, you advertise on it. Digital marketing is like taking advantage of the internet. Okay, people use Facebook, getting your ads on Facebook. Internet is something people use more than any other thing these days. So digital marketing, like getting yourself in front of them online, internet. Content marketing, yeah, it comes in that way too, but it's more of like using, like driving finding leads or getting customers through content, like creating, okay, let me type an instance. For example, I am selling a particular product, maybe an electronic stuff, or let me say app or something like that. Let me just say a drug particularly. So I'm trying to advertise. Instead of just running ads and just spending on ads, paying people pictures, and I can just write the content out. It could be a long content, explaining, probably telling my own personal story. You understand? That's in form of the content. Then along the line, I will introduce what I'm trying to say. Like, okay, this is what I can do. you can actually use this in digital. I feel personally, I feel content marketing is actually just an aspect of digital marketing. It's not something you should actually compare fully. It's just like an aspect, like a division under digital marketing. Because digital marketing, in the real sense, not in the evaluated whatever that everyone is around, it actually covers everything. Content marketing, email marketing, and everything. Digital marketing covers everything. So that's what I think about that.
It's even very interesting you said, like, the aspect of, you know, trying to sell and get people interested in you, because right now there's so much noise and people are trying to filter so much. How do I get some, like, if I were into business and I need to get people interested in what I'm doing, how do I get people interested in my social media these days? Just anything I'm doing online so that I will get people to buy, people to click the links I want them to click and all the stuff.
Okay, the first thing is identifying your audience. A lot of people get to just go on Twitter some ads and, you know, and just so you are just waste money. I call it waste money. You just burn your money. Just start Mark Zuckerberg, whatever your money. So the first thing, I think, me personally, I actually work my, like I do, I there's something I actually tell people, like emotional marketing. And before I go into emotional marketing, there's something I call, okay, you have to understand your market. What am I selling? Who are my prospective customers? You understand? Where are they? These days, for example, talking from the Nigerian perspective, these days, for example, if you are trying to sell some kind of product, you should know, okay, I should go on IG. Facebook these days, most youth, I think, like youth of our generation, a lot were out of Facebook. I think they left Facebook for the quite younger ones and the elder ones. When you look at it, the way, like when you look at engagement you see on Facebook, on posts, on popular pages, you see we have older people and younger ones. When you're talking of people in their 18, 19, 20, down to around 26, 27, you don't really see them on Facebook, they're on Instagram. So if you're planning to sell a product or you need audience of that particular age, the first thing is you know where to go. Now talking of the emotional part, like when I'm talking, I call it emotional, though I don't know if that works in this context. Okay, the particular type of people I want, okay, which kind of pages can I see them? When targeting ads, you can actually target pages. When you think about soon they're not followers, okay, you can just, for example, I think he's a very popular blogger. Okay, you can talk about people that are just on Instagram, just get news and stuff like that. So depending on the type of traffic, talking on Facebook ads, which you can actually target, do the same on Instagram as well. There are situations where they tell you, okay, age group. I want to sell this product. Who are those that need this product? Oh, they are within this particular age. Well, someone of 13 years cannot this product. Someone of 18 to 24, this product is perfect for them. Where can I get them? Okay, we have school pages. You can just target school pages. Okay, this particular page, this particular bloggers, you follow them. We have the current BB Ninja trend. Okay, most people that follow BB Ninja, when you look at it, really, younger ones are used kind of. So people that really, we use hashtag, we use a lot of people that actually interact. When you are running ads, particularly when you are running your ads on Facebook, not from Instagram. Running from Instagram, it doesn't give you access to a lot of, you understand? But when you are running on Facebook, using Facebook Manager, you are able to go deep down and you are able to target some kind of crazy things. People that have interacted with some particular hashtags, okay, you are trying to target students from University of Lagos. When you go on University of Lagos hashtag on Instagram, you see thousands of people, thousands of posts. People that have actually engaged, that have engaged with those posts, there is a way you could actually tag them. So depending on the type of audience you need, the first thing you have to study your audience and you have to know where they are. So once you can study them, know where they are, then you can talk of ads, you can use influencer marketing. There are a lot of stuff you can do just to target your ads. It's not good for you to plan to sell something to, I want to sell something to kids. Then let me use a wider thing. I want to sell something to kids. Then I'm talking to, okay, let me say Ben 10 and Kylie Jenner. You understand? When I want to sell to kids, one of the best places to go, if Ben 10 has an Instagram page and I'm trying to hire an influencer, it's better for me to hire Ben 10 to target kids than hire Kylie Jenner. We know Kylie Jenner's follower. Emotionally, you'll just be able to pick it out. Okay, this kind of person, these are the type of people they actually relate to and these are the type of people they follow. So from there, it makes things easy. So whatever type of market you are looking, whether content marketing, whether using ads or stuff like that, when you know who to target, it makes it easier. And it improves the kind of result, the quality of results you get when you know your proper market, where they are, and how to target them.
Yeah, sure. You really touched on so many things, even about targeting. Now, you're trying to say some of the most important thing when it comes to like running any kind of sales online is you just have to first know who you want to sell to before you even try to push that product out.
You understand, exactly.
people started doing some kind of things back then called code emailing. And does that work in 2020? Just like randomly sending emails.
Okay, well, talking of code email, I had a conversation with someone about code email recently. I did this and I failed at code email. Let me put it that way. I sent hundreds of code emails and the response were not really. But one thing is, when you go online, people tell you code email still works and I keep reading it online and I see it on stuff. But trying it myself, it doesn't really work. And funny enough, okay, now I own an agency and I've actually received a couple of code emails. Then in most cases, I put myself on the side of the client. Okay, if I want to hire, would I really hire someone because someone just sent me a mail? You understand? Why? The thing is, mails these days, a lot of people get lots of mails from different people. Consciously or unconsciously, people subscribe for stuff. So one thing I notice about business people that most times, okay, maybe I'm an electrician or I do cleaning and I have an email. I'm looking for customers, I think you understand me, as a cleaning agent or something like that. Or let me say as an electrician, as a plumber, I'm looking for customers, you understand. I bring to my mail basically to check out for those that have sent me mail to make inquiries. On the secondary is when I now check out other emails I just received. So I feel most code emails come in as spam, just sending someone mail from nowhere. No matter how, I feel the more you try to find less spamming, the more you actually find spamming. In the sense that I have received a couple of them, and I look at the particular angle, the particular perspective I viewed the code emails from. Looking at them, I feel like, wow, so this is how people actually get my mail, and probably this is how they feel. I'm always on the lookout for important emails where people are hiring me and stuff like that. Except on code email works, except on rare occasion, whereby the person has something like that in mind. Then if you have something to offer, like something that looks like quality, one thing you should know is on Instagram, like everywhere, on Twitter, like it's easy for you to get your designer, even in your local area. So except you have something very good, something special, probably are packaging with your own website design service or whatever you are pitching through code email.
Yeah.
You understand? Most people see your mail as spam and just see it. So it's just like that, really. Most times like that. People just look at you like, oh, no. They are looking for what they need. Except when it's on top of the person's mind, like, oh, I really need something like this. Then, luckily, your email comes in at that moment. Then you might be considered, but the percentage is very, very low. So really, I don't advise code email in this thing.
Yeah, it's sort of like just random stuff and no planning.
Yeah, no planning. The percentage is low, kind of, and everything like that.
I don't know if you sold anything, like maybe run campaigns here in Nigeria, but how would you like talk about demographics and how it has affected sales? Maybe like the buying position of maybe people abroad or people here in Nigeria. Who do you think are more easier to sell to? Which demographics are more easier to sell to?
I prefer to sell to foreign people. Well, and I'll be talking from my own perspective in this situation, you understand? Well, personally, okay, I do website development, branding and stuff like that, data marketing. The first thing I understand is talking of demography. When I'm talking of people from this part of the world, talking of Africa, Nigeria, most people are still not exposed to the goods that are actually attached to digital marketing, like marketing online. A lot of people, when you see big brands, they still be, a lot of them still believe in traditional marketing. Let's do advertorials and stuff like that. Most of them still don't believe this thing is working. You see a lot of big organizations, popular ones that are out there, people follow. You enter their website and you see crap. You be like, why? They are not taking it serious. They feel most of their customers give them a call and walk down into their office. You understand? But when I'm talking of same people, I said earlier that I work for plumbers, electricians. Imagine plumbers, electricians, they don't have blue collar jobs. Seeing the need to actually have a website for their business. They are actually more interested in, okay, let me get my business online. I think this is the new trend. Let me jump on it. And based on demography, I will be talking about Australia particularly. I think Australia is, I think as a particular time, I think a few years back, US was on that wave, US, UK. But I think right now, Australia is actually on that booming wave. Like, anybody you meet from Australia, they want to know more. They are currently on that wave of want to know more. Everybody wants to go back. Everybody wants to go online. But then in US, if they are lucky to find someone that has not gone online yet, well, they are ready or they are even ready to listen to you. But when you're talking of this part of the world, the first thing is they are not ready. They just feel, I don't need it. Some people give you welcome and feel like, I think they are helping, just trying to, you understand. They feel they don't need it. They prefer the traditional way. That's one thing I do. So talking of demography, I think the US, that talking of America, Canada and co, they are cool and it's normal there. Australia is currently on the rave. Everyone wants to go online in Australia, I think. Then in this part of the world, we are not even ready. Like, everyone just feel, I don't need it here. You see scrappy website for big organizations. You see people that are not even, no social media presence and a lot of situations like that. So,
yeah. That's interesting because, but I think maybe Nigeria is still coming up in a way because, but I don't know the general acceptance of things now. Well, I feel things are getting better. Most companies are trying to get online but there's still a lot of skepticism from people. When you talk to them about, especially e-commerce, people don't like to buy things online here in Nigeria. And then with the high rate of fake vendors online.
Some people take the price, then walk into their own local market. You understand? Those mentality and everything. I don't know so it affects the price. Most people check prices online. Once they confirm the price, then they walk into their own local market to buy within that price range. You understand?
Yeah. I think it's because like there's still so much poverty and managing of money among people in society now, like in our own society, like currently.
Yeah, you are right. Poverty one. Second is, should I say, insecurity? There are, you know, scams. You have scams and a lot of things online. So most people have this mentality. So what if I'm buying online and they don't deliver it? And that scam, that could boil down to the fact that in Nigeria, someone could easily scam and go scot-free in the sense that not all citizens are properly registered into the system. You understand?
Yes.
Not if you buy your money enters into someone's account and the person does not deliver the goods, you can get it out. The process of getting it back is always stressful. So most people just prefer, let me check the price online and go physical. Let me pay someone and get my product. So aside from poverty, we have some people that, okay, we have very, very basic products. People will prefer to order online. But most people just be like, what if I don't get this product? So it's actually killing, when you're talking of e-commerce, you know, e-commerce doesn't only work with talking of the big elephant in the game. Okay, talking of Nigeria, we have Jumia, we have Didi and stuff like that. I feel I should be able to launch my e-commerce store and people buy from me. But the reason why most Nigerians don't buy from my e-commerce store is it's not popular and people feel once they're not popular, you can always get away with their money.
Let's even like draw back now and talk about society in like for our own age group. And like, because if we wanted to talk about poverty and how to go about it in any way, like maybe like trying to solve it, because things can work out if more people are focused on building wealth. And I don't actually see that most times in our own age group, right? Because people are always, because we've talked about this before, like people are always drawn to this quick way that doesn't really last. This referral and money pyramid schemes.
Yeah, you're very, very correct on that. Yeah, it goes in two ways. I think I had a conversation with someone just this evening. I was like, okay, I gained admission into AU about 4 years ago. And I was like, on getting admission, those on campus that we actually respect, are those doing innovative stuff? Oh, this guy is a blogger. Oh, this guy is a website developer. Oh, this guy is a PR. Oh, this guy is a stuff, you understand? But looking at my environment now, talking of your environment, we have nothing like that again. We have no writers. We have nothing. Everyone just wants to make money. We have the issue of internet scam coming in. I think that's a big problem. So it's, I was complaining because it used to be like, wow, this so-called Yahoo and stuff still expensive people. What are being nice? Okay, you know, it takes a while to build stuff. I hope you agree with me. When I build something very, it takes a while. But when I build stuff and everyone, in a way, in one way or the other, we need this support from friends and family and let them feel like, oh, you are doing something serious. But when I build something and in the first year, you are not making money, you have your friends telling you, bro, you're wasting your life, you're wasting your time, you understand stuff like that. In as much as you can actually build resistance towards them, it goes a long way in affecting your mindset and your mentality towards where you are working. Like, what if this doesn't work out? We are still young, as you said, people of our age group, you understand? I think right now we should be innovating, find out of trying to create wealth for ourselves than trying to gather through means. That's where people fall for all these collecting 1,000 naira. Why not? they can't even think of, I'm paying 1,000 naira. One is, how do I think someone will pay me 1,000% interest without me working or anything? People don't agree that money is cost of, value equal to money. Okay, I said I'm a website developer. I'll develop a website, but how much are you paying? Oh, that's the value. I'm offering a value. But people don't believe value is cost of money again. One, internet scam. You can just start someone up online, do one or two things, and you pack out, collect details, and you understand stuff like that.
Yeah.
Secondly, all these schemes and stuff like that, people just feel everyone is looking for a fast way to wealth, and they are very, very short term stuff. By the time they pay two people, they can't pay two again. They close the scheme, they make money, and they move on to the next one. Another one comes out, people do it again. People, the crazy part is feeling creativity in youth. Like, I don't think talking of 4 years when I was running away, I used to meet a lot of people. But this guy is journalist, you know, this supply, yes. Then we do have competition between the talking of inside campus news agencies. Because I'm quite political, so once in a while, I actually read daily. This is how students I saw campus then that were competing with blogs. Who I own this blog, I own this blog. When I read the list now, I read the full news, checking down, I see their name there. Wow, I'm proud of them. Like, wow, this guy made this year. You see them writing on Tribune, The Nation, stuff like that. But now, presently, this current generation, you see 16-year-old boys, they are not ready to think anything. They are not ready to think about anything. They are not ready to create wealth, not ready to do anything. What they want is, let me just get this money within 6 months. You understand that kind of thing?
So yeah,
you see, it's still innovation. Oh, well, actually, it's a two-way thing. The few people that are actually innovative in this generation, I feel it's kind of a less competitive market for them. And they have more people to hire in future, I think, because something of the current generation, actually, in the last one, two, three, in the last two, not even up to the last 2 years, it has been like, creativity has gone back. Creativity is not appreciated. And no matter, we are humans. Whatever we do, at least, we need this appreciation. We need all people going, motivation from people. But when you put your time, effort, and every money into something, because you're not making money in the first 2 months, something takes 5 years to go. I hope you understand.
Yeah, sure.
You can keep doing something for 5 years. But when you're not doing something, you're not making money in the first 3 months, people look at it like you're not serious. Yeah, as opposed to as human, you can be like, I'll build resistance. This is about energy. You understand? But on the long run, what if I feel at this? This is because you understand what I'm trying to say. It's going to be long run.
Perfect.
Design. I'm not more than two people doing something really crazy, like something driving me crazy. But it was not like that. Those days, I was driven crazy by something. Like, wow, this young boy, 19, doing stuff like this. But in this generation, no. I have people want to think. Everybody wants to think. Then, internet scam, do Ponzi scheme, and nothing more. Nobody's thinking outside the box. We're not a lot of opportunities in the world now. We have companies going. The evolution of software development, robotics, and everything. No Nigerian is thinking towards that stage. All we need is how to cash out from the White House. You understand this kind of stuff. So it's really crazy. Like,
it's very interesting because now you pointed out a lot of things, but we've always been hearing these things, but I've always been thinking about how we can, you know, go about this thing in any way, like start solving these problems. I know it'll be very hard to solve these problems in any skill at all, but in your own opinion, how do you think we can start? Maybe just at a small scale, because how do we like tell people, like engineer this mindset into people that it's okay to play long-term games and you know, work hard for a long time to try to build wealth, that you don't always need to go very fast. How do we engineer this mindset in any way, like in people, like right now in society? Yeah. So I said, like, this, you know, these problems are like very widespread now, and to solve them will require like very big things like policies and some other kind of societal change, maybe.
The first thing should be declared illegal, kind of. Ponzi scheme should be declared illegal. Then I feel the quality of education we actually get from our university is actually not, like, the quality of education are actually very, very bad, talking about university level. Because most of these Ponzi schemes are actually popular within the university environment, if you are going to agree with me.
Yeah.
And I don't think I don't think anyone has telling the final year student or university graduate that your 2,000 naira can't turn to 20,000 naira in 2 days, no matter what. I don't think so. If we're actually getting education, just it goes beyond. I think in our generation, education is just, let me go to school, let me get degrees, and get out. We are not really, our minds are not really open, and we are not really getting educated. I don't know if you agree with me. We are not. So in this situation, I feel government policies, at least policy should be brought up, we should be declared illegal, stuff like that. Anyone caught arrested, there should be, you understand? That's the first thing.
Mm.
But aside that, I feel it's a phase that will pass. As I said earlier, those that are actually innovative, in the next two 2-3 years, the results will be out there. And those on the other way around, you understand? When they start seeing stuff like that, even though I feel it might be late for some people, but at least, traveling as an example, when they see stuff, oh, these people that were building stuff 3-4 years ago, oh, they are doing great. And I feel it should be something to fall back on. You understand me? Like, oh, I think we're looking for fast wheels and everything like that. But the first thing is, it should be declared illegal, at least by a government or anyone. At least, regulational bodies, you understand? No, nobody should just stand up and shoot up a Ponzi scheme, pack people's money and leave, you understand? Then come back again under another umbrella, another name, pack people money and leave again, you understand? So I think there should be a lot of checks and balances within those stores. Then that goes back to what I said earlier. Talking of Nigeria as a country, why we have trust issues in e-commerce. When all citizens of the country are perfectly registered, whereby if I'm sending money to someone and I discovered, I can easily report in a bank and within 24 hours, they will get the person, get my money back. You understand stuff like that? It's to reduce stuff of, because most of these things, they don't even hide their identity. You see someone putting up his name that send money to this particular account.
Yeah.
You understand? So if, it's very, very funny. So I feel more it boils down to, well, Nigerians, you understand? Nigerian allies and our government bringing up policies that at least would place those people on check, you understand? Then secondly, just our people's mindset, the quality of education we get. Because it is insane. Yeah, it's people fall for scam, but not a scam of bring your 2,000 and collecting 1,000 in 4 hours. It's insane for you to invest in stocks. I don't know. No stock in any market that you can purchase and actually get that kind of percentage. You understand me? So it's always it boils down to our level of education. Not that I don't like money. Everyone needs money. You need money too. But the reason why you don't do this, you know, this thing is dumb. Why are you going to $2,000 and get $10,000 in 4 hours? What are you doing with my money that will give me that kind of return? You understand? What are you doing with my money? Some come and say, we are doing Bitcoin. Which Bitcoin are you doing? Cryptocurrency does not even rise 1,000%. You understand?
Yeah.
So it's better than just simple education. Yeah, simple education. Even before the government come in place, people should stuff like that and laugh. You understand? So when people do it, it's better than the quality for education. Most people just come to school, get it at the back degree, right for A's, B's, and C's. People are not really, people don't really open their minds to really get, like, think outside the box and reason, you understand? University graduate for that matter. So it's just like that.
Yeah, it's very interesting, though, because I was even thinking one of the ways we could solve this trust problem was if we had a public database of all the scams that has happened before, like any single person that has been scammed or his money was, he could just go there, record it on the database, and it's publicly viewable. And everybody can just check and see who are the scammers or who are the, I don't know, who are the money launderers in society at the current moment.
That's something that works. So most people will be scared to at least come with their own degrees and it will reduce this. Because three very, very small boys, small 2 to 3 year old boys come together and also let's shoot something on the WhatsApp group. A simple WhatsApp group is for all these positive things now. WhatsApp group, we are bringing someone and N500 naira. Very, very practical. And they are very, very annoying because if the university graduate and so investing in such things, then coming out later to shop at
You talk about like education and like quality of education. What do you think that should there like there's like maybe anything that should be taught in schools that isn't at the moment? Maybe at low level or maybe high levels maybe in the university. What do you think there's this particular thing that should be taught, but it's not taught in the universities or schools?
Okay, I don't know the particular way. I don't know under the particular subject or course I could actually fit it in, you understand? But I just feel if it could be taught as a course, you understand? I just feel because when you see people talking in society, like when you some people about some stuff, you see graduates, you see people call MSc older self. You see them relate to some situation. You see them and you see the one is dogmatic, you understand? And I feel like this is actually very basic reason, you understand? Simple reason. But most people's mind are actually covered, like clouded with dogmatic, you understand? So I feel if reason, kind of logical reason, if it could actually be incorporated from primary level, you understand? Whereby you give pupils in primary school the mindset of, okay, this stuff it is like this, but they should be able to question, what if, you understand? There should be always that phase of, this thing is not fixed. What if you have something, there should be a part, maybe a course, a subject, something whereby you be like you just be able to open your mind and ask questions. Talking of religion, science, a lot of stuff, you understand? I think the course should be brought up philosophy. I think philosophy students, I think they do better at reasoning. At least those I've met, you understand? So whatever they teach them in that philosophy, that actually makes them in 4 years change their mindset and they are quite open-minded, you understand? I think they should try and incorporate that into the general syllabus and let every student have that mentality of we can at least think and reason, you understand?
Yeah, I've also known that like you criticize some kind of dogma. I don't know if it's religion you critique or dogma.
Dogma, really, just dogma.
And these are things that have been fed to people from a very young age and they just grow up with them without questioning. People just like take all those and they don't question it at all. And then they grow up with it and have this false reasoning of how the world works. They don't teach philosophy at any level at all that is compulsory for students. And that surprises me because philosophy is not compulsory. Even at the university level, it's like an elective. You could just like choose to do it if you want to, which is very bad because I feel everybody should have that understanding of philosophy, even at very basic level.
I mean, I think they should find a way of incorporating the syllabus. It would go a long way in helping us. Like, for because we can't, like, a lot of Nigerians, that is talking of this part of the society, a lot of people can't just come up with, like, you see, where me personally, I get this most times. And I just come out, the only thing I can just is rant. Because, yeah, I don't know, I did not do philosophy or anything, but at least I could open my mind and just ask, even the world, okay, we're in a world, how does it really operate? I see you talk about stuff, I see you follow NASA and some stuff like that. I feel that stuff people should be interested in, not just some scrap that actually we youth of the generation put their major attention on that and actually leave everything. When a children where everybody feels, oh, you can't make money online in this generation, this 2020, people, you can't make money, you can't make a single penny online without the internet scam and stuff like that. University graduates, what are you in school for? You see university graduates that can't operate the same, like a basic computer. You understand? So it goes a long way to say a lot of things about us. You understand what I'm trying to say? You see university graduates that can't operate a computer, like they can't operate a PC. You understand? So when on the philosophical part, I feel it should really be incorporated just as, from the very basic level, from the primary level, they should find a way of incorporating philosophy into the syllabus.
You know, that's because I think maybe these things are like due to some kind of education policies too. But now I know you were into politics. I don't know whether you're still into politics.
So how was
that like? I think from very early days of Angola Hall, how were you able to cope?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there were challenges. Okay, I was very young then. I was around 17 years old when I became Angola Hall chairman, actually. Okay, yeah, you know. Well, the thing was governance. One thing I noticed was governance. You understand? Your mentality about governance was like, okay, then, you know, I moved from, okay, an onlooker, someone trying to correct, maybe a critic or whatever, to actually being the one people are looking up to, you understand? One thing I tried as much as do was, okay, I had ideas in my mind before, talking of books I've read, the way to operate stuff and stuff like that. One thing I feel I did then was communication with the people, being close to the people. Currently in Nigeria, that's one of the things we lack. Our leaders are not close to us, you understand? And at every possible instance, we don't trust our leaders. Till date, okay, we have this coronavirus pandemic globally. Till recently, or till whenever, even till this moment, some Nigerians still don't trust the government on that matter. Some tell you no COVID in Nigeria and stuff like that. You understand? That is because over time, one, they have not been honest with us. So at every instance, we feel they are trying to outsmart us and steal our money. You understand? Secondly, they are not even close to us. I was talking to someone sometimes ago about a particular honorable from Oyo State, Akin Alabi. Okay, he comes home most weekends. And he's actually loving that consistency. Why? He comes home most weekends. He's close to the people. He walks on the street with us. He's around. He knows the bad road. You understand? But most of our leaders, the moment they get appointed, you understand, or elected, they move very, very far away from those they are serving. So then in Angola, I had a lot of challenges because, okay, I was more of an activist than, you understand? And the Central Executive Council was more of, should I say, liberal, or they tilted towards the management part, of which means my personal way of thinking. So my personal way of thinking does not really go with that, and I could never agree with that. So we had our clashes, which some work towards me, towards the end of that institution, he lost. But I was able to actually work over everything. We were thinking of going to court, came with results, stuff and stuff. But all was on the side. But talking of my Angola, I had my constituency. Like, I gripped it hard. And so the opponent was the general president, in the sense that it was not close to them as much as I was. I was close to my people. We eat together. We watch football together. We play together. I walk into people's room and talk to people one-on-one. So even till date, like, you understand? So the communication was, and people like, AKD. But the point was, the only thing I could say I really did then was communication. I was very, very close to the people. You understand? So if that could actually be incorporated in the country, whether our leaders are close to us, they are too far to us, and at every possible instance, we feel the ones who are smart to us. I hope you get me.
Yeah.
We feel the ones who are, so communication is something very, very, you understand?
Yeah. So, you know, at every level in for people who do politics, there's always this hate. Like, how are we able to cope with that amount of resistance and hate from people? Because at every level, people just...
The thing is, most of the hate, one, came from the external, you understand? That was one of the things that most of the hate came from the external, you understand? And, you know, when, okay, you, for example, you are a governor in, let me say, Lagos State, then you are locked in your state, you're holding your state tight. But along the line, you receive maybe HR from the federal government and stuff like that. In as much as it would affect in a way, and you're trying to balance things, you understand? Personally, so far you have, like, let me just say, 70%, you understand? If the thing is, the people, in as much as most of our people are dogmatic or whatever, they are not insane, you understand?
Yeah.
That's what they are not insane. They know what is right and what is wrong. At least to the basic level, everyone knows what's right and what is wrong. So if you are doing something and you feel those that actually hate you are much than those that actually love you, I feel the person should review what he or she is doing, you understand, in that particular position, because it doesn't happen that way. So in that situation, hate came from people. But when the love was more than the hate, I was comfortable and I felt good with everything. Along the line, I was just trying to convert most of the hate to love. How? Through communication. When people hate you and you communicate with them, they tend to just either fake or real love. One comes in. You understand? So the only thing I did was trying to convert the hate to love. Either a fake one or a real one. But a love comes in. That is, when you communicate to people that hate you, love comes in. Could be a real one or a fake one, but love comes in. So that was the only thing I could do then.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But okay, if you, right now, if you were like in this big position of power whereby you had so much power and control, you could control a lot of things and move and you know, set big policies. What do you think you would do? What kind of world do you think you would create?
Okay, are you talking of, let me say state power or federal power, something like that?
Yeah, no, just an hypothetical scenario where you had so much power in a very large level, even, okay, maybe federal. What do you think, what kind of world do you think you would have created or would do?
Okay, well, personally, let me talk about, from my own personal point of view, I feel the first thing we need to change, I think, the system of government currently used in Nigeria, I think it doesn't really work well. You understand? So that's one of the first things I would actually be moving. If I have this power, like as I said, the system of government, particularly used in the country, is not something I feel can work in this kind of our country. It abhors corruption and a lot of other stuff. We should be coming to a more transparent, you understand, a more transparent type of mode of operation, talking of the government, talking of system of government, you understand, whereby everyone, at least to the most local environment, everyone is represented. Look at your environment. If you have a problem, do you know who to work to? Very few environment know their councillor, or they call the councillor, know their councillor, whatever. So there should be a kind of government whereby, per street or something like that, everyone has a representation, you understand? So in that way, a lot of people will feel represented in government. So the first thing is, one, police reform. I feel police reform is highly needed. Police reform, one. Second is making sure at all levels, everyone feels represented in the government. So even smaller than the local government level. So the first thing is, and like I said earlier, when we were talking about the market, the first thing in this situation is to identify the problem. What are the problems people are facing, you understand? And talking about the problem people are facing, one is when you can identify the problem. By identifying the problem, you have to reach the grassroots. And as someone at the federal level, reaching the grassroots would not be very, very easy. To make sure people are duly represented at every level. Police reform, then, you understand? Talking of electricity, Because when you talk of here in Nigeria, okay, I stayed back where I am currently, that's Ife, for one reason, electricity. I feel electricity could actually boost innovation, you understand? Could actually boost innovation. Because talking of in particular, when I'm somewhere where I have life and stuff like that, my spirit is always up, I want to do stuff, pick up my system, do stuff like that, you understand? But in the absence of life, factories, a lot of stuff cannot operate. So I think the first thing is talking of reform of the government, then like the system of government, you understand? The capitalism, whatever, doesn't really work in our country. So moving to a system whereby people are more represented, you understand? And they can easily feel the impact of the government. Second is police reform, you understand? After police reform, then electricity, but the basic one is identifying the problem, which is representation by everyone. Let everyone feel involved in the government. Let them know we have a government, a working government. Then from there, you pick it up. That is when you can even know. The first identify, because right now in Nigeria, it's very, very hard for anyone to identify the problem. We have corruption problems. We have a lot of problems. But identifying the problem is talking to the people, being in touch with the people as a government. And that's what I ask about us.
That's interesting. Though I still feel like if we had like some kind of capitalism, then we could foster innovation in a way whereby anybody that had the capacity to improve most things, maybe like electricity. Now, if I had an idea of how to improve it, it means I could just spin up a company and then, you know, start doing that. But in our own current society, they might kill you with so much tax and all those things, and then that company will never see the light of the day.
Yeah. So like just as you said, when I'm talking of moving away from capitalism, I would say moving to socialism, because I think that's like the what I'm talking about, talking about capitalism, socialism, you understand? I'm thinking of like a kind of mixed economy, you understand? Whereby people can still come up with their own ideas and find their own business, you understand? But in a way, not totally, you understand? Yeah, currently not totally like whereby the government has their own, you understand, startups and everything in operation too. But the citizens that have the ability or ideas to improve the living condition of the people, you know, the welfare condition of the people, can actually come up with something, whatever they have, and you understand, get started too. That's not moving to the show where the government control everything, you understand? Because right now, talking of Nigeria as a nation, without the government controlling everything, we can't even move. We are not even moving anywhere. We keep moving backwards. Now thinking of when the government tries to control everything, it won't really work, you understand? So the best thing is just a kind of mixed economy whereby the government controls the particular part, but still citizens can run their own business successfully. You understand me?
Yeah. Okay, we are getting close to the end of this conversation. But what part of society do you think you're most proud of right now? And maybe what part are you not proud of at all?
Of the Nigerian society?
Yeah.
Well, if I say the part of society I'm really proud of, well, I would just say probably recently, no matter how small it is, I think the harmony I'm seeing in the youth, when you understand harmony in the youth, then every other part of the society, I think I'm not proud of. I'm proud of none. Aside the harmony I'm seeing in youth, at least when we have issues, we have youth. Even though the youth are not doing enough, they say that we love to just talk on social media and just forget it. You understand? Yeah. I feel youth need to stand. The set of people we have in government now, the cabals, the old ones, they will govern this country 50 years back, you understand? And they are still the one in power. So I feel, and when they roots at first 50 years ago, they were 20 something. So I feel we youth in our 20s, 30s should actually come together and forge them out of power. But in as much as we are not doing that yet, I feel currently, with what we have currently, talking of when you have problems, the way people got, at least or even on the social media, you understand, the only thing I'm proud of, at least when you know, okay, when you have a problem and you can climb up on social media, you have the support of the youth. You understand? That's the only thing I'm proud of. Every other thing in this country, I'm actually not proud of none. The police force is zero. Everything is zero. Aside, then maybe our military, they are trying, even though our government is failing their life, but still, it takes a lot of, you know, it takes a lot of resilience to stay in the military, even to this moment, you understand? Considering what others are saying, when you see your colleagues gone and stuff like that. So maybe the military, I'm proud of them, and the support the youth gives to youth, you understand? Anything aside that, nothing for Nigeria.
Yeah, that's well put, because, you know, I've always been even talking about, because I opened that television station, NTA, that old station, So I saw how so bad the quality was. Like everything about that station is so old. I was now complaining. Don't we have young people employed in these companies that, like NTA or this, that could like improve them? Because just give someone who is into some kind of media production or like just the video quality of anything about that station could be improved if we have like maybe young progressive thinking people working for that company. But I don't think they have very young people because working for them that could like improve whatever they are doing.
Yeah, you are very right. This thing you said now, it doesn't even only work in NTA, everywhere. When I was talking about flushing out the old carbouts, it doesn't really work in government alone. Stuff like NTA, you see them, you see people in the media talking of stuff like NTA, whatever, in the mainstream media, you understand. They can't even operate talking of modern devices, talking like the modern system, modern phones, I understand. So I feel there is need for them to actually, everything is just like, in Nigeria currently, yeah, we need a lot of revolution, you understand? But I feel the kind of revolution we need to access is the youth revolution. Youth, younger people taking over everywhere. You see 70s, refusing to retire, staying in those NTA offices. You see them reporting news, using glasses and everything. Whether we have young blood, jobless and stuff like that. So I, personally, when I keep talking about it, I feel the first revolution within Nigeria is a youthful revolution. Let the young take over. They said the young shall grow. We are the leaders of tomorrow. This is our tomorrow. Let the young take over first. You understand? Then from there, we have, okay, talking of, okay, Nigeria as the owner, talking about our parliamentary, whatever, talking about, you understand, the government. When you look at the few offices that we have young, okay, we have Akin Alabi, we have Fakore Day in Oyo State as Commissioner of Sports. Currently in Oyo State, the most popular ministry to the people of Oyo State is the Ministry of Youth and Sports, you understand? And the person there is actually a youth. Talking of in the federal house, that house of rape, you understand? We have Akin Alabi, we have like two others. They are the most popular, you understand? I would say they are not corrupt. I'm not here to justify them or anything. But the stuff is, even when the youth are corrupt, you see this level of proactiveness. When we have a younger president, you understand? No matter what is happening, no matter the level of corruption in the country, at least there will be proactiveness. You see our president not even knowing what is going on in our country, you understand? They put him on TV and just position him to just say whatever. The right than you try it on the most. If you that even if you won't make blunders, you understand me. So I think the first revolution we need youthful revolution everywhere in every sector. NTA, let them go out. You see, you watch programs on DSP, then mistakenly what I switched to NTA just in the you said it now. And I can see what you're saying. Like we have a very, very poor quality. The shows, they just it's just very, very poor. Even if channels come, let them just upgrade. But they won't upgrade because they don't even know it. We have very, very old papas and mamas in those offices. Refusing to retire, you understand? Where we have young blood that did mass come, educated, that could do crazy things, that could do magic, they refuse to employ them because they don't want to be serving. So the first thing, we need a youthful revolution. Let the youth take over everywhere, you understand? Then let's now see from there we can move. So that is first revolution, a youthful revolution everywhere in government offices. Those in government offices, they have nothing to do again these days. The evolution of technology is actually rendering a lot of them useless. You understand? So they need youth that can operate technology. Less, you understand? A lot of things. So I think the first evolution is a useful evolution in every aspect. Talking of the NTA, talking of government, talking of our startups, everything. Generally, a useful evolution. That's what I have to feel about.
That's well put. I noticed you had a new book coming out. Yeah, time about digital marketing. I don't know what your progress on that is.
Okay, yeah, the book is actually ready, but I was chilling on one I have another book coming out with. The pandemic, you know, you have to take advantage of situations, you understand?
Yeah.
You have to take advantage of situations that was what I called emotional marketing.
Yeah.
If you are planning to put out a particular content, you understand, then something happened. This is like a global disaster, you understand? The first thing is, I completed that and I have it in my draft. I was meant to release that sometimes around April, but I had to delay it for something else because I felt that content was not perfect for that particular moment when everyone was just trying to struggle for life, you understand? This 2020, so far from March downward, we are all just trying to make sure we get our life, you understand? At least let me get my life fixed. So before anything else, what we are fighting for now is life. This is not a year of, I need a lot of money. What everyone is looking for is, let me just get hold of my life and let me root my life. You understand? So I just felt, wow, this is not like a perfect time to release such a content. So I kept it in my drive. So and I started working on something that system that would go well, you understand, with the pandemic and would help people, and people would be more interested in at this point in time, you understand, people in this kind of situation, something that they, so that I've been working on that, and sometimes in the next 1 month it should be out.
Yeah, that's what I wish you luck on that. And yeah, for now, I'm an optimist. For now, I'm an optimist for most things, but like right now in the Nigerian society, I have this pessimistic view. Do you see like a good coming out in like the next few years? Do you feel like there will be much progress? Do you feel
talking of politically, like, right?
Better things, society as a whole, right now, okay, economically, socioeconomically, in everything about Nigeria. Are you pessimistic or optimistic about it?
See this moment, I see nothing. See this moment, nothing. Yeah. Like I'm not optimistic. Like nothing for now. Until I feel you stand up and come together, then you know, chase the old cabal out of power. I feel there is nothing. Like right now, everything keeps getting bad, and everyone just keep trying to survive for their life and stuff like that. I feel nothing. I'm not optimistic about anything in Nigeria for now.
I mean, I wouldn't blame you. So, do you have anything to say now? I would put you on the spotlight now. You just say something, last words for people that will be listening, anything at all.
Okay, well, I feel this podcast, based on the project, I feel more used to be listening to this podcast. So, we're in as much as we are, wherever we are, I just feel used. I know most of the people that will be listening to this are youth. So youth, particularly, I think we just need to come together. If we want a better life for ourselves and for the coming generation, our generation, I think it's still bearable. Even though it's bad and everything, but we could still survive. If we are not careful, it's very disastrous for the coming generation. And in order to fight for them, I feel we need to come together and at least take this old cabal out of power, a useful revolution. And aside that, I feel youth, I am saying that this point that everyone should put their eyes, like to look out, you understand? There are a lot of opportunities online beyond internet scamming, Ponzi schemes and all that. We have a lot of opportunities online rather than scamming, Ponzi and all that. So just be on the lookout, learn, Google is your friend. That's one word I use, GIY.com. Google is your friend. And Google has every information you need, you understand, in any skill you are trying to learn or anything. So just work on that, and we at least, no matter how bad the economic situation is, at least could sustain yourself with that. I think that's all.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's having you on the show today, for joining me today.
Yeah, I'm really happy. I'm really, thank you very much for this opportunity.